Oh, do we have a lot to talk about today? We do have a lot to talk about in this next 4 hours here at 404-726-0929. John Fricke with you from the Northern Kia Studios on a Sunday morning. Boy, it's going to be a hot one out there, huh? Man. You know, thankfully, camp hasn't started for the Atlanta Falcons. Well, of course, they have that big indoor facility I guess they could use. Because, man, I don't know about you, but there were times where so this is like, you know, back in the day, we had to walk 6 miles to school, through the 8 foot deep, right? That kind of thing, right? But there was a time back in the day, back in Swanee, when the Falcons would work out, and they were doing two-a-days back then. Oh, my God. We'd stand out on the side of the field. We weren't in pads and helmets running at full speed. We were just standing on the side of the field, melting. I remember the man. And then they moved to the new facility. They built the indoor for that, and they keep building up there, which is why when camp opens up in about 10 days, there will be no fans allowed this year in Flowery Branch because of all the building that's going on up there. Anyway, welcome to it. We have a lot to discuss here. Obviously, there are things going on in the country right now. I'm just going to kind of leave this here. This is your place to come talk about sports, all right, at 404-726-0929. There's a lot of other places you could talk about whatever else is going on. And look, sports can be a very healing thing when bad things happen. Go back to, you know, just even recent history. I go back 20-some-odd years to Columbine, or, you know, to 9/11, certainly. COVID, you know, the shuttle disasters, all the things that happen that are bad in the country. You know, sports tends to be there to kind of, you know, uplift us and bring us back to a sense of normalcy and kind of routine. And, you know, sports is scheduled for the most part, which I think helps, and, you know, the scheduling of things. So, you know, we'll kind of move along today. We got a couple of big discussions to go through, one involving the Braves and one involving the Falcons. And I think you'll free to join in here, because I think you'll find something you want to grab onto at 404-726-0929. As I always tell you, if you missed the conversation about college football, about the Hawks yesterday, and you want to weigh in on any of those, you're certainly welcome to. We're keeping our eyes on a lot of news out there. Just kind of the news at the moment from the sports world is the Wimbledon men's finals, which is now in the second set, where Carlos Alcaraz of Spain is dominating Novak Djokovic right now. He won the first set 6-2. He's leading in the second set. So early on, Alcaraz is dominating Joker, and we'll keep our eyes on that as it plays along today. It is a gigantic day for soccer in the world because the UEFA Championship is in Germany, and that will be Spain against England. Boy, Spain and England are kind of tied together, huh? Alcaraz is in England in the men's finals, and then Spain against England in the UEFA finals in Berlin tonight. Our 3 o'clock this afternoon, our time. And then the Copa Finals will be in Miami for Argentina and Colombia later on this evening here. To the local scene here, it was not a good night last night. There's no way to sugarcoat what happened last night. Because I even put up a poll and I went, yikes. Talk about no bueno. That was no bueno last night. And I didn't know which was worse. Matter of fact, how did that poll come out here? Let me go to my X. Can Elon change the name back, by the way? Can I go to my ex here and see how that poll kind of came out? What did they say was worse? Because I said, you know, no bueno, which was worse. So far, 59% say the Braves with no runs and 5 hits in being shut out for the second time in 3 games was worse than United with no goals and no shots on goal. United not only got shut out in Montreal. Boy, do I feel for Mike and Jason having to travel all the way and go through customs both ways and go to Quebec and all that kind of stuff. When Atlanta United, they so don't show up. Not only do they not score in the game, they get no shots on goal. None. Zero. You know, and I meant to send something, but I know it's too early in the morning and they just got back. I don't know. Maybe a United fan out there has seen it. Has that ever happened where United didn't even get a shot on goal the entire game? I mean, it's gotten that bad? Because it's not good. It's just Atlanta United has got to have you want to talk about it. We talk about the Hawks. Atlanta United's got to have a come to this meeting here with Arthur Blank at the end of this year, because you've lost everything that you built. It is distilled down to a game in Montreal in the middle of July of this year. No goals, no shots on goal. That's kind of where you're at. That's bottom. I mean, that we have started to hit rock bottom here, okay? And it's time to figure this out, because this is not going to fly moving forward for Atlanta United. So we'll see. But the Braves, again, they're going to go out this afternoon. They're going to put Chris Sale on the mound. He's going to go for win number 13 and see if they can't get back on the winning side of things here after, again, shutout twice in the last three games. So that's sort of where we'll start there when we get into the Braves. They're 52-42. They are under 500 since the middle of April. So in three months. Over the last 3 months, they're under 500. They're 9.5 games back of the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, it's only the middle of July. There is still time. I know it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of time because, you know, they say the All-Star break, the mid-season classic. They're not mid-season. Braves are playing their 95th game today, and after today, they'll go to the All-Star game, right? And then they'll have, 67 games to go? So you played 95, and there's 67. Now, I'm not a math whiz, but I think 95 over 67 is not exactly halfway. It's not. You are into the second half of the season. You're 14 games into the second half of the season here, and you're 9.5 games back of the Phillies. And worse than being 9.5 back, it's not just that you're 9.5 back of the Phillies. Not that winning the East is all important here, but who knows if it might not be, because you're only 3 games up in the wild card, and you're 3 games ahead of the team that's right behind you in the East, the New York Mets. And you know as well as I do, the New York Mets want nothing more than to catch the Atlanta Braves and to, I mean, that would make their year. Even if they did nothing in the playoffs, if the Mets kept the Braves out of the playoffs, oh, that would just, they'd hold a parade around Citi Field if the Mets kept the Braves out of the playoffs. But again, it's not just the Braves are 9.5 back. It's really more that they're 9.5 back and showing really, again, no signs of really competing. And so we got 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks until the trade deadline. There are all sorts of rumors, okay? All sorts of rumors. You can go on to, I mean, it's unbelievable the number of rumors surrounding the Braves. Oh, this pitcher, that outfielder, this guy, that guy. We all know that Alex Anthopoulos is going to have to make a move. It's readily apparent because you look at some of the numbers and, yeah, it's just, you're going to have to make a move. And you're going to have to get Michael Harris back. And you're going to have to get A.J. Smith-Shawver back. And you're going to have to, I mean, there's going to have to be some stuff that happens for you in terms of guys that have been on the injured list returning to the team. That's true. But you also got to get your own guys going. And you have to make a move. I mean, all three things have to happen for you. And then maybe they put it together. And the relaxers, again, there's three sets of Braves fans, right? There are snit haters. And you're never going to talk about being snit haters. They hate Brian Snicker. He should be doing this or that or the other thing. They will eternally hate Brian Snicker. And then there's the relaxers. And the relaxers, and you may be a snit hater, you may be a relaxer, or, you know, and those are the people saying, just, you know what, they're kind of, they're snit lovers, because snit says, they're going to be okay. Yeah, they're going to be all right. And the relaxers are like, yeah, they're going to be okay. They're going to be all right. Just relax. Relax. Everything will turn out fine. These guys, yeah, they're pros. They'll start hitting. And that's, so the relaxers are in agreement with Snit that things will be fine, that they'll start hitting. And the Snit haters are like, I've given up, and I'm screaming, and I want to pull my teeth, and I want to fire him, and all that kind of stuff, right? And then there's people like me who go, well, you know, Brian Snicker did win a World Series with a team that probably shouldn't have won a World Series. Took him to the NLCS with a team that shouldn't have gone to the NLCS and was up 3-1 on the Dodgers. Then kind of choked out a couple of years, which wasn't good. But you know what? He's been in the playoffs, and he's been a really successful manager, and right alongside Bobby Cox in terms of the most successful manager in Atlanta Braves history. So, okay, and they're not going to fire him anyway. So calling for him to be fired is an irrelevancy. He's not getting fired. Whether you want him to or not, he's not getting fired. So I'm not necessarily a snit hater, but I'm also not relaxed, because, again, until I see something here that says to me, okay, you know what, this is going to work, that's what they've got, all right, you know, fine, I'm good. Now, having said that, the pitching's been very good, as we know. Chris Sale pitching today, I think, was intentional on the Braves' part, because they don't want him pitching at the All-Star game. And so as a result, he won't pitch in the All-Star game in Dallas. And so as a result, he's going to pitch today, going for win number 13. Max Fried was put on the All-Star team to replace Ranger Suarez from the Phillies. So the Braves are sending three starters, you know, starting pitchers. Obviously, Ozuna's going, but you're sending Lopez and Fried and sail to the All-Star game. And all three have deserved to go to the All-Star game because that's how good the Braves starting pitching has been. Second best in all of baseball behind only the Philadelphia Phillies. They've been that good. It's the hitting that's been, oh, yeah. So make no mistake as to exactly where things have gone wrong here with the Atlanta Braves here. But that's what we'll kind of start right there in and around the Braves. And then a big bulk of the show is going to be about the Falcons because it is a football Sunday. Every Sunday, starting from the 4th of July all the way to the end of, unless there's some other breaking news, all the way until the Super Bowl, every Sunday on this show with me, whether it's Wade Ford or this show, will be dedicated to the NFL because it is a football Sunday and camp is starting in 10 days and we have a lot of things to talk about with the Atlanta Falcons here. So I'll set up the Braves question. I'll offer two questions, right? One about the Braves that you can answer at 404-726-0929 and another about the Falcons that you can also answer as well. But again, I want to stress to you that as you come in, it's going to be again, if you want to talk about the Hawks and all the, again, it's just rumors about the Hawks. That's all it is. You know, they're going to go through Summer League and we'll see how they do in Summer League. I don't put a whole lot of stock in Summer League. I just don't. It's interesting, I guess, but I don't put a lot of stock in it. I mean, you're not playing against the superstars. So let's see what happens when you're playing against the real big guys. You know, show me then. But nonetheless, it is interesting, and I understand that people like it. And our Caleb Johnson's been out there kind of monitoring what the Hawks are going through, and that's good. But, I mean, when you get too excited about a guy in summer league, it's like getting excited about a guy in spring training. I mean, it's just you're not – it's not a real thing here. You know, it's just – it's kind of what it is. I'm not downplaying it, but I'm also not going to give it more credit than it's due here. So nonetheless, if you do want to talk about the Atlanta Hawks, we certainly can because we don't know what's going to be next. And I think we're all sitting around assuming we know they're going to have to make some more moves. I mean, that's obvious. So if you want to talk about the Hawks, we can because they've got way too many people on their roster. They've got like 18 players or something. So they're going to have to make some more moves here before we get into too deep into it toward the regular season. But then again, we've got how long till the regular season? Oh, my gosh. August, September, I mean, we've got 3.5 months. Till the regular season, so quite a ways away. And if you want to talk about college football, because camps are about to begin, and tomorrow, media days for the SEC. Media days for the SEC in Dallas. So it'll be really interesting because Kirby Smart's going to be up there on Tuesday, and we all know that he's going to be asked about what's going on with, you know, NASCAR camp up there in Athens, because it's the one thing. It's so interesting to me in a way that Kirby has been such a great coach and has done such well. Matter of fact, probably should have won 3 in a row last year. Could argue they were still, if they had played Michigan after the bowl games in the playoffs, they probably would have beaten Michigan. No offense, Michigan fans. That's the level Georgia was at. Yeah, I get it. Now, this year, they're going to be favored. They're going to be preseason number one. We'll see if they win another national title this year. They possibly could. They're probably the best team on paper in the entire country. So we'll see how they handle this season with a much more difficult schedule. And for everything that Kirby's built there, this is the one thing that he can't kind of – he's really – obviously, he's not been able to get a handle on it. I was going to say he's struggled with it. No, it's worse than struggling because this whole – speeding down Broad Street and slamming over curbs and everything else that's going on with his team is not... And he can't stop it, apparently. So, and I don't know what he has to do to stop it, but... Because I don't think it's just as easy as kicking players off the team. I really don't. Because I think he could kick players off the team and some other guys are still going to do it. I don't know how you stop it. All right, I'll set up the Braves question in a moment as we get back, and then the Falcons question. But again, it's a Sunday. It's a football Sunday, so feel free if you want to jump in. Any NFL team, any college team, any topic you want to talk about, 404-726-0929 from the Northern Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Sunday morning on Sports Radio 99 The Game. It will be a lot of football talk, a lot of football chatter, but real quick, I want to get Eric Slaughter, who is the technical director, executive producer, Grant Poobah, and the guy you talk to when you call in at 404-726-0929 to jump in and see if he can give me an answer here. Eric, I was looking on my on my Twitter, on my X here, 59% say that the Braves' no runs and five hits was worse than Atlanta United's no goals and no shots on goals by 59 to 41%. I can't pick which was worse. I mean, they were both bad, but which was actually worse, because in my book, Atlanta United hit rock bottom. I mean, it's just total rock bottom. And we need them to bounce back. But the Braves, in that performance yesterday, being shut out for the second time in three games, and the only reason they weren't shut out three times in a row is because Marcell Ozuna hit two home runs, is the Braves have got nothing in their arsenal right now. I mean, nothing. And nothing is in runs in two out of the last three games. And I remain strongly kind of concerned here. So I don't know which was actually worse, the Braves as a leading indicator to the fact that they still haven't figured this out, or Atlanta United hitting rock bottom.
I would say it's Atlanta United. Not getting a shot on goal is a tougher pill to swallow than being shut out. Because if we all know baseball, the Braves did put the bat on the ball. Some of them, you know, made a couple of good plays on the defensive side by the Padres. Sometimes the ball just doesn't drop, but you're still getting quality at bats. Not getting a shot on goal, what was your offensive game plan? What were you not executing? There's something wrong there when you can say, I can play 90-plus minutes of soccer on the pitch, and I couldn't even just get a shot at goal. That's tough.
Right, that is tough. No, they're both bad, that's for sure. All right, 404-726-0929. We will talk a lot of football. If you want to jump in on college football of the Falcons, do feel free. It is a football Sunday, but I do want to throw out a Braves question as we hit the All-Star break. Again, 52-42, 9.5 back of the Phillies, 3-game lead over the Mets in the wild card, and playing this afternoon in their final game with Chris Sale on the mound at Petco Park before the All-Star break here. What is the best and the worst? Well, give me a best and a worst from the air quotes first half, which is not the first half, but to the All-Star break here. Best and worst so far from the Braves this year. If you're looking at the best, we can go over that list. Certainly Marcell Ozuna. I mean, he set a Braves record for most RBI by a by a Braves player in the history of the Atlanta Braves before the All-Star break, 77. The starting pitching, you know, with Sale and Freed and Lopez, all-stars now. Chris Sale himself, as he goes for his 13th win of the year this year. The fact that they, despite everything and despite how bad they are 10 games over 500, which you have to remind yourself of sometimes that, you know, they've been pretty much a 500 team for the last 3 months, but they remain, because of their good start this year, 10 games over 500, and they've done so despite massive injuries and losing Strider and Acuna and Matzik and then Minter and Murphy and Austin Riley and Harris. I mean, this team has been throttled with injuries this year, and yet despite that, they've managed to overcome it and still be 10 games over 500. Now, on the worst side of things, I continue to say their lack of joy as a team is concerning to me. They play with the least amount of joy of any team I've seen in a long time. Matt Olson, I mean, dude needs to, somebody needs to take, like, you know, unplug him, go get a, you know, something to, you know, plug him back in and reboot him, you know? I mean, my goodness gracious. The bench has been among the worst things so far in the air quotes again, first half. The bench has not come through. It just hasn't. I mean, the Zach Schwartz and J.P. Martinez's and Guillorme and Eli White, I mean, I know they're doing the best they can, but they're just not coming through. And so that bench has been really thin and non-productive. But then again, so are the starters. I mean, Olsen's hitting .229. A guy that hit 54 home runs last year has 13 through 94 games. I mean, he hit 54 last year. He'll be lucky to hit 24. Sean Murphy hitting .211. Orlando Arcia hitting .210. By the way, what is the aversion that the Braves seem to have, that, and I'm scratching my head, to putting Nacho Alvarez and giving him a shot here? He's not ready. What do you mean he's not ready? What, Orlando Arcia is doing something for you? Look, sometimes you have to roll dice, right? Well, you don't want to ruin. Oh, God. You don't want. Oh, my God. Okay. They ruined Hurston Waldrop. They ruined Spencer Schwalenbach. They ruined Michael Harris when they brought him up so early. And they went through quickly. I mean, they ruined these guys. I'm just asking. Arcia hitting 210. Duvall hitting 191. Rosario hitting 190, greatly in part to the fact that he didn't hit when he was at Washington. All of this says that, you know, we all understand that, look, Alex Anthopoulos is going to have to make a big move. And all the rumors that are out there that he might go get another starter, which I'm fine with if he feels he needs to get another starter. And that's up to him. I think when it comes to the issues on the team, starting pitching is not at the top of my list. They need to get somebody who can rake in the outfield. They need to get another outfielder. Presuming Michael Harris comes back, you have Kelnick and you move Kelnick to left. Left is Kelnick, Harris in center. Go get you a right fielder, or go get a big bat and put him in left field somehow. And then Duvall and Rosario become bench guys. Okay, and I'm sorry, that's just what they are. So I think that's the move you need to make to put another bat in the lineup, because Duvall and Rosario are not getting it done. And so when you're hitting 191 and 190, you're hurting the ball club. And so right now I think you just have to say, hey, it's nice, it was great, we love Adam, we love Eddie. But the relaxers out there saying, yeah, just relax, Eddie will come around, or relax, Duvall. By the way, they may, you know, and that's maybe what the manager says. Eh, you know, they're hitters, they'll come around. I mean, okay, you have more faith than I do. Now, they may do it, and they may just start raking like crazy. And you're going to say, see, I told you so. And if they do, I'll say, yeah, you were right. Okay. But if they don't, you also run the risk. And right now, the proof of evidence here, the body of work this year, we're 94 games in, says that these two are not. They're both 10 points below the Mendoza line. Not acceptable. This team, which hit 307 home runs last year, has 107 this year. They are going to be lucky to get to half that, half of what they did last year. And they're built to win on home runs. 404-726-0929 is the number if you want to join into the program. We'll get a Falcons question here coming up after the next break here. Let's begin with John from Chicago. Chicago, are you listening on the Odyssey app up there in Chi-Town there, John?
Yes, I discovered you and John on the morning show years ago, and it made my day when I could listen to Atlanta Sports in Chicago.
Oh, that's great. And welcome to it. What you got?
Yeah, so first of all, with your poll comparing United's failure to get a shot and the Braves being shut out, I believe the poll is tilted by the fact that a lot more people care about the Braves than United. United failing to get a shot is pathetic, but the Braves have not been good since the middle of April, as you said.
Yeah, I think you can look at it that way. I think that's fair. But, you know, United has, John, and you probably have you been back to town with the United yet and to a game? Have you had a chance to do that?
Yeah. So I'm one of those people who's okay. Not really a fan of soccer.
Okay, that's fine. Their fan base is pretty intense. Okay.
Yeah. And no, they I know listen. That.
And, okay. And I was. And so, yeah, so was, there's that part of it. And the other part of it
I was really pleased when they had that really great year.
Yeah, me too. Kind of apathetic towards Atlanta United at the moment because the franchise has gone backwards and backwards and backwards and backwards. And it's like, okay, you know, so I think there's a lot of apathy right now that's starting to set in, which is a shame. But this is why they're going to have a come to Jesus. With the Braves, look, I think there's a lot of us, John, who still believe that if the Braves can figure this out and get right, and Alex Anthopoulos can make a big move that sparks the team, and they can find some kind of joy, that the Braves are still going to be able to make a run at this thing. And could still, I don't think any of us have given up on the hope that the Braves could win a World Series this year.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I agree with everything you said about the Braves this morning with one little caveat. You expressed it very well about the Braves' pluses and minuses, the really bad injuries and so forth. The thing I have is Snit is a really nice guy. He's been a Brave for 50 years. But you look at the World Series, the playoff lineup last year after the Braves had been off for a week, He juggles the lineup in a way he never had the whole year.
Yeah,
and that was a horrible start.
Inexcusable. Right.
Yeah.
That was, John, we roasted him on the air for that. And then they had to go back to it And then they had to go back to the original line. Why he changed, I have no idea. I'm sure he regrets it. And yet at the same time, they made a play, a defensive play to win the game they won, where it was a combo defensive play, probably the greatest defensive play in Atlanta Braves history, considering the catch by Harris and the incredible, as great a catch as it was by Harris, what Riley did was unbelievable. To be able to two-hop that thing, barehand it, and fire to first for the double play the way he did. And that was the moment that should have sparked that team, and they just went.
Yeah, I'm not a Harper fan. I used to live in D.C., and I liked him when he was in D.C., but I don't fault Arcia for his attaboy comment made to reporters that shouldn't have been broadcast or whatever. My real comment, though, is I do have total faith in Alex Anthopoulos, and I'm positive he'll do the best he can as we go into the next few weeks for a trade. But Snitker is a caretaker. He's doing fine when all the players are there and performing like, the batters did last year. The three top pitchers this year are incredible. They've got some other good arms. I do worry about Charlie Morton. But, the Braves should be fine for the playoffs, and they can make a big run, but the bats do have to start hitting. Last night when Olsen had that last strikeout, I mean, I'm just pained when he takes a swing at a pitch that ends up hitting the dirt.
Yep, I know. I know. Again, he's got to reboot. And I appreciate it, John. That's John from Chicago listening on the Odyssey app. And I don't understand something. I played baseball to junior college. So, unfortunately for me, I play baseball coach. I'm an armchair baseball coach, okay? And I don't understand something. Not that I should be talking about my game at all, my inability to catch up to fastballs and time them, is that... what I don't understand is you've got these hitting coaches to work with these players. Look, if it took sending Matt Olson down to Gwinnett at some point this year for a week or so, or even extended spring training to get him right with his eyes, they should have done it. And instead, they're kind of stuck with this because there's something, he's not seeing the ball right. And I contend there's something, there's a loop in his swing that they've got to get out of his swing. Look at it this way. Marcelo Zuna, think about his swing. Think about last year, okay, and the year before, he would step out of the box. Eric, Marcelo Zuna, just tell me if I'm right. Marcelo Zuna would step out of the box. He would take his left arm and his left elbow, and he would like chicken wing and chicken wing and chicken wing. You remember when he would do that before he would step back in the box?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Okay, so they got rid of it. He doesn't do that anymore. Instead, his hands are quiet. They're set farther back. And they worked with him to get rid of that chicken wing, whatever they were trying to do with him, they got rid of it. His hands are set farther back, and they're quiet. There's no more chicken wing. And he is just raking the ball. I don't know why you can't do that with Olsen. Get his hands down. They're too high. He's chicken winging that bat. Just get his hands back. Let him relax. But instead, he's got this bat going back and forth. And why are you fixing it? I don't understand it. I just don't.
Well, the question is, was it just a hitting coach or was it a sports psychologist that helped them fix that?
Well, with Ozuna, I would assume it was a hitting coach because they got rid of it. They said, look, quit doing the chicken wing thing. Let's put your hands in this position here and let's just hit. So quiet your hands. It's like, you work with a golf coach. You're getting too wristy. Quiet your hands down. I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer or not, but whatever it is, Matt Olson is nowhere in the universe of Matt Olson. He's not the same guy. All right, so there's the Braves question out there. When we get back from the break, I'll throw the Falcons question out, and we're going to be talking about both of these today, this morning. The Braves' best and worst of the, air quotes, first half of the season for the Atlanta Braves. And with the Falcons, it'll be about the biggest thing to watch for in camp, okay, and by extension, preseason. On Sports Radio 90, on the game. Live from the Northern Kia Studios on this Sunday morning, 10:42 in the morning. Football hour coming up, Church of Football at 11 o'clock this morning, but we're going to kind of start a little bit early, singing from the hymnal of the Atlanta Falcons here. We have a Braves question for you out there at 404-726-0929. And again, if you want to talk about the Hawks or college football or whatnot, because, all right, let me just do the countdown here. We are 10 days away from Falcons camp. Ravens opened up camp yesterday, first team to open up camp, inviting their rookies into camp. This coming Wednesday, the first full camp, Houston Texans, rookies and veterans, will report. So it's odd to say that C.J. Stroud is a veteran, but C.J. Stroud and the veterans report on Wednesday for the Texans because they're playing in the Hall of Fame game. That's coming up on Wednesday for them. Hall of Fame game's only 18 days away. Falcons' first preseason game against the Dolphins is just 24 days away. I mean, it's going to come fast. We are also 41 days away from Florida State and Georgia Tech college football, so the countdowns continue. So the Braves question that's out there for you is, as we hit the All-Star break, air quotes, second half, again, this is game number 95, so hardly the second half, what is the best thing from the first half? Is it the fact that they've overcome all these injuries, and they have been beset with major injuries, and are still 10 games over 500, and still three games ahead in the wild card? Is it Marcell Ozuna's record-setting first half? Is it the starting pitching where you have Lopez and Sale, who's pitching today and going for win number 13, and Max Fried now all on the All-Star team? And what's the worst thing? Has it been Matt Olson and his struggles? Has it been the lack of production from the bench? Because the bench, frankly, has been non-existent. Okay, non-existent for this team. And or has it been a lack of fun? Now, I think it's always been a lack of fun. There's a lack of joy. Abe Gordon has said many times that he thinks winning breeds joy. He's not wrong that it does, but this team does not seem connected to me in the ways that teams in the past have been connected. You know, some people say it's the loss of Ron Washington. Others have pointed to other things. Well, the Acuna injury. I'm like, well, Acuna got injured the year they won the World Series. They were pretty connected, but there seems to be a lack of connectivity on the team here that has concerned me from the beginning of the season here. So we'll see what happens there with the trade deadline coming up. Now, today is also the MLB draft. The MLB draft is tonight. Will Charlie Condon of Georgia go number one overall? May not go one or two. If he goes number one, Georgia becomes only the third school in history to have the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, the NBA draft, and the Major League draft. So if he goes number one, Georgia will join LSU and UCLA. Wouldn't have never gotten UCLA was the other one, to have the number one pick in the NBA, the NFL, and in baseball. We'll see how that happens. By the way, the Braves have pick number 24 tonight. You got to be really into the weeds to start looking down at those guys who are 24 to know anything about them. It's one of those things where they say, well, we got a guy, and we all go, okay. You know, I mean, you have to, it's like the NHL and the Major League draft. You got to be into the weeds. You got to be Grant McCauley to be able to tell me about these guys, because the rest of us aren't so much watching high school baseball like that or college baseball quite like that. I mean, some of you are locked in on your team, or you may see a guy at the College World Series. I mean, Paul Skeens, you know, blowing up the way he did for LSU. And, of course, now he's so blown up, he's going to be starting the All-Star game for the National League. So that's the Braves question, best and worst thing from the first half of the season at 404-726-0929. Falcons question. We're going to get Harper LaBelle is going to join me at 1 o'clock, and I'm going to ask him these questions, too. You know, this is kind of a camp-slash-preseason thing. What is the biggest thing for you to watch? And I'd like to kind of, like, focus on one, because there are so many things to watch in this team that I'd like you to kind of pick one, because we could talk about that one area. Because you can say, look, it's going to be the new coaches, the new coordinators, the new head coach, and because of that, the new schemes, because the offense is going to be different, the defense is going to be different. That's one area. You could say it's the new quarterback room. That's another area. You could say it's the new draft picks and the impact that these new draft picks are going to have on this team. You could say, for example, it's the area to focus on are the holes that might show up on defense. Because I think we go into this camp, I'm not saying anything you don't know, with some question marks. There's a question mark at cornerback. There's a question mark at the other safety. Now, they'll come out and they have publicly and said, you know, we're fine. We like what we see, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's what they're saying, but that doesn't assuage us until we actually see it, right? I mean, until we actually see it, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. But so the newcomers, if that's one thing, sort of like the new receivers and the new draft picks, that's one area. The new coaches and new schemes would be another area. The holes that we think exist, especially on the defense, is another area that you can weigh in on at 404-726-0929. I'd like you to pick one of them, and we can kind of explore that, you and I. Let's get to your calls here. Let's go to Angelo, who joins us this morning. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I want to comment that I really enjoy the way that you reflect upon somewhat controversial topics. So I'm going to throw something out there. And then I'm going to sit back and just listen to your thoughts and the way you dissect things and all. Really enjoy that. So here's my topic. I personally feel that they did the right thing by signing Kirk Cousins and then drafting a quarterback. I can get into all of my reasons, but I love to listen to you and how you reflect and how you're very objective. So I'm going to hang up. And I'm going to listen to you.
No, Angela, stay with me, because I got a question for you, okay?
Okay.
Don't hang up. Okay, I got a question for you. I mean, without going in and repeating myself a thousand times here, but I will for the sake of this, because you posed a question. So, again, biggest things to watch the preseason, one of them is the quarterback room. And, again, I don't understand why some fans were mad about the fact that they drafted Michael Penix to go with Kirk Cousins. It made no sense to me why you were mad about it, because we went from noodle arm quitter, DoorDash Dez, we went from the worst quarterback room in the NFL to a top 10 quarterback room in the NFL, and y'all mad. Okay, walk me through that. But, look, I think Michael Penix, they went, Angel, again, they went to Seattle, right, and they worked him out in the rain. And when they went to work him out in the rain, they went, our eyes to see, because they had already worked him out. They had seen him at the combine. They had seen him on film. They had met him, and they go, wait a second now. How do we sell the idea to Mr. Blank that we just spent $100 million on a quarterback to be our quarterback for the next 2 or 3 years, and yet we want to take our number 8 pick and draft a quarterback? How do we sell it that, because I, being Raheem Morris, have walked into his office. I had gotten the job because primarily I had looked at, and this is how Raheem got the job, make no mistake, this is why he's saying super and bowl. I had gotten the job by convincing Mr. Blank that the goal of Super Bowl was attainable as soon as right now. I mean, I walked in saying, hey, listen, I see this team, the 2016 offense, I was the passing game coordinator. This is going to be, you get me the right quarterback, I can do that. I went to Los Angeles with Matt Stafford, same offense more or less, and won a Super Bowl. I want to bring that offense back to Atlanta. It's not the Arthur Smith offense. We're going to go back to the 2016 offense. We do that with this defense. We can win the South. We can win a Super Bowl right now. And now, I have to sell Mr. Blank on the idea that I have to draft a quarterback after paying $100 million to a quarterback. So they go to Seattle, and they work him out, and they get on the plane, and they're coming back to Atlanta. And the Terry Fontenot and T.J. Yates and Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris and everybody else, the team doctors and everybody else that went out there, they're sitting on the plane, they're going, oh, my God, this guy is frigging great. He might be the number one pick of the draft. He might be better than Caleb Williams. He's great. What are we going to do here if he's sitting there at 8? We got to take him. I mean, we're talking about a 10-year run here. This is what great teams do. You got Brett Favre. You draft Aaron Rodgers. He's sitting there. You got to take him. You know, when Aaron Rodgers was taken by the Packers fans are screaming, what are you doing taking a quarterback? They're like, well, the guy's great, but he's going to sit on the bench for 3 years. How did that work out for him, Angelo? Pretty good, right? Did I lose Angelo?
No, you didn't lose me. I'm here. I'm just
okay.
Enjoying.
So my question is, no. My question is, how did it work out? I think what they're trying to do here is two things, twofold here. Number one, what they saw was a quarterback who is a star player in the making, and another quarterback who's coming off an Achilles injury. So there was some protection in that. Okay, because they don't want to. The best thing in the world is for Michael Penix not to play down this year, right? But I think what they saw was the ability to do what those great franchises do if you want Raheem Morris to be the head coach for 15 years, and that is to have a star quarterback and draft his heir apparent.
Right. No, I agree. And you know, that was my thought all along, and I agree with you that, you know, everybody's getting upset. You're paying $100 million, but you're also paying Michael just a rookie salary, right, for 5 years?
Well, yeah, it's not so much about the money as it is about, I think, again, they're not just drafting him because they say, okay, it's time for us to draft a quarterback. We may not get a chance to draft a quarterback, you know, coming up very high because we might be too good and we'll be way down the draft. Let's hope that's the case. But again, I think it was they were on the plane and they said, oh, my God, this guy's going to be a star. If he hadn't been a star player, if he had been just like, and I don't mean to throw shade here, if he had just been a good player like a J.J. McCarthy, you know, he's a good player, I think they would have gone way off him, and they would have said, okay, look, we got $100 million. We'll live with Taylor Heinicke. We'll draft a backup next year, and we'll take the bet, you know. But that's not what they said. They went, oh, Lord, this guy's going to be great. That's what happened.
Yeah, and so in closing, I really hope that the quarterback situation works out, that we don't all of a sudden have controversy, that Kirk Cousins, for whatever reason, maybe have a bad game and everybody's calling for the rookie. I just hope it goes the way we all want it to go, where Kirk Cousins utilizes all that offensive talent that we've been talking about and we win some games and everybody's happy.
Me too, Angelo. That's what I hope, but I can guarantee you, and I appreciate the call, the first time that Kirk Cousins has a bad game, because what's going to happen in preseason? What's going to happen? Eric, what is going to happen in preseason for the Atlanta Falcons with the Falcons fans and Michael Penix? What's going to happen?
The love fest is going to begin.
Oh, the love fest will be underway. You betcha. They about to fall in love with Michael Penix. Okay? They're about to go, oh, he's going to start. You know that before we play Pittsburgh, all the fans are going to be screaming, you got to start Penix. Oh, how can you not? He's the future. He's going to be the greatest thing in the world. Oh, don't put that, you know, Achilles, you know, dude in there. You know, I mean, that's going to happen. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. And it's okay. It's what fans do. Tomahawk and everybody, hang on. Quick break. Breaks are short on this show. Braves, best and worst from the first half. And what area of the Falcons, Angelo, wanted to talk about the quarterbacks. How about new coaches and new schemes? What are the number one topics here for you to watch in camp preseason? Is it the impact of all the new players, the draft picks, and the guys they picked up? Or is it to patch up the holes that they have, that we think they have, they do, on the defensive side of the ball? All ahead with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Live from the Northern Kia Studios on this Sunday morning, 10:42 in the morning. Football hour coming up, Church of Football at 11 o'clock this morning, but we're going to kind of start a little bit early, singing from the hymnal of the Atlanta Falcons here. We have a Braves question for you out there at 404-726-0929. And again, if you want to talk about the Hawks or college football or whatnot, because, all right, let me just do the countdown here. We are 10 days away from Falcons camp. Ravens opened up camp yesterday, first team to open up camp, inviting their rookies into camp. This coming Wednesday, the first full camp, Houston Texans, rookies and veterans, will report. So, odd to say that C.J. Stroud is a veteran. But C.J. Stroud and the veterans report on Wednesday for the Texans, because they're playing in the Hall of Fame game. That's coming up on Wednesday for them. Hall of Fame game's only 18 days away. Falcons' first preseason game against the Dolphins is just 24 days away. I mean, it's going to come fast. We are also 41 days away from Florida State and Georgia Tech college football, so the countdowns continue. So the Braves question that's out there for you is, as we hit the All-Star break, air quotes, second half, again, this is game number 95, so hardly the second half, what is the best thing from the first half? Is it the fact that they've overcome all these injuries, and they have been beset with major injuries, and are still 10 games over 500, and still three games ahead in the wild card? Is it Marcell Ozuna's record-setting first half? Is it the starting pitching, where you have Lopez and Sale, who's pitching today and going for win number 13, and Max Fried now all on the All-Star team? And what's the worst thing? Has it been Matt Olson and his struggles? Has it been the lack of production from the bench? Because the bench, frankly, has been non-existent. Okay, non-existent for this team. and or has it been a lack of fun? Now, I think it's always been a lack of fun. There's a lack of joy. Abe Gordon has said many times that he thinks winning breeds joy. He's not wrong that it does, but there's not. This team does not seem connected to me in the ways that teams in the past have been connected. You know, some people say it's the loss of Ron Washington. Others have pointed to other things. Well, the Acuna injury. I'm like, well, Acuna got injured the year they won the World Series. They were pretty connected. But they just there seems to be a lack of connectivity on the team here that has concerned me from the beginning of the season here. So we'll see what happens there with the trade deadline coming up. Now, today is also the MLB draft. The MLB draft is tonight. Will Charlie Condon of Georgia go number one overall? May not go one or two. If he goes number one, Georgia becomes only the third school in history to have the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, the NBA draft, and the Major League draft. So if he goes number one, Georgia will join LSU and UCLA. Wouldn't have never gotten UCLA was the other one to have the number one pick in the NBA, the NFL, and in baseball. We'll see how that happens. By the way, the Braves have pick number 24 tonight. You got to be really into the weeds to start looking down at those guys who are 24 to know anything about them. It's one of those things where they say, well, we got a guy, and we all go, okay. You know, I mean, you have to, it's like the NHL and the Major League Draft. You got to be into the weeds. You got to be Grant McCauley to be able to tell me about these guys, because the rest of us aren't so much watching high school baseball like that or college baseball quite like that. I mean, some of you are locked in on your team, or you may see a guy at the College World Series. I mean, Paul Skeens, you know, blowing up the way he did for LSU. And, of course, now he's so blown up, he's going to be starting the All-Star game for the National League. So that's the Braves question, best and worst thing from the first half of the season at 404-726-0929. Falcons question. We're going to get Harper LaBelle is going to join me at 1 o'clock, and I'm going to ask him these questions too. You know, this is kind of a camp slash preseason thing. What is the biggest thing for you to watch? And I'd like to kind of like focus on one, because there are so many things to watch in this team that I'd like you to kind of pick one, because we could talk about that one area. Because you can say, look, it's going to be the new coaches, the new coordinators, the new head coach, and because of that, the new schemes, because the offense is going to be different, the defense is going to be different. That's one area. You could say it's the new quarterback room. That's another area. You could say it's the new draft picks and the impact that these new draft picks are going to have on this team. You could say, for example, it's the area to focus on are the holes that might show up on defense. Because I think we go into this camp, I'm not saying anything you don't know, with some question marks. There's a question mark at cornerback. There's a question mark at the other safety. Now, they'll come out and they have publicly and said, you know, we're fine. We like what we see. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's what they're saying, but that doesn't assuage us until we actually see it, right? I mean, until we actually see it, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. But so the newcomers, if that's one thing, sort of like the new receivers and the new draft picks, that's one area. The new coaches and new schemes would be another area. You know, the holes that we think exist, especially on the defense, is another area that you can weigh in on at 404-726-0929. I'd like you to pick one of them, and we can kind of explore that, you and I. Let's get to your calls here. Let's go to Angelo, who joins us this morning. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. One, I want to comment on that. I really enjoy the way that you reflect upon somewhat controversial topics. So I'm going to throw something out there, and then I'm going to sit back and just listen to your thoughts and the way you dissect things and all. Really enjoy that. So here's my topic. I personally feel that they did the right thing by signing Kirk Cousins and then drafting a quarterback. I can get into all of my reasons, but I love to listen to you and how you reflect and how you're very objective. So I'm going to hang up and I'm going to listen to you.
No, Angela, stay with me, because I got a question for you, okay?
Okay.
Don't hang up. Okay, I got a question for you. I mean, without going in and repeating myself 1,000 times here, but I will for the sake of this, because you posed a question. So, again, biggest things to watch in preseason, one of them is the quarterback room. And, again, I don't understand why some fans were mad about the fact that they drafted Michael Penix to go with Kirk Cousins. It made no sense to me why you were mad about it, because we went from noodle arm quitter, DoorDash Dez, we went from the worst quarterback room in the NFL to a top 10 quarterback room in the NFL, and y'all mad. Okay, walk me through that. But, look, I think Michael Penix, they went, Angel, again, they went to Seattle, right, and they worked him out in the rain. And when they went to work him out in the rain, they went, our eyes to see, because they had already worked him out. They had seen him at the combine. They had seen him on film. They had met him, and they go, wait a second now. How do we sell the idea to Mr. Blank that we just spent $100 million on a quarterback to be our quarterback for the next 2 or 3 years, and yet we want to take our number 8 pick and draft a quarterback? How do we sell it that, because I, being Raheem Morris, have walked into his office. I had gotten the job because primarily I had looked at, and this is how Raheem got the job, make no mistake, this is why he's saying super and bowl. I had gotten the job by convincing Mr. Blank that the goal of Super Bowl was attainable as soon as right now. I mean, I walked in saying, hey, listen, I see this team, a 2016 offense, I was the passing game coordinator. This is going to be, you get me the right quarterback, I can do that. I went to Los Angeles with Matt Stafford, same offense, more or less, and won a Super Bowl. I want to bring that offense back to Atlanta. It's not the Arthur Smith offense. We're going to go back to the 2016 offense. We do that with this defense. We can win the South. We can win a Super Bowl right now. And now, I have to sell Mr. Blank on the idea that I have to draft a quarterback after paying $100 million to a quarterback. So they go to Seattle, and they work him out, and they get on the plane, and they're coming back to Atlanta. And the Terry Fontenot and T.J. Yates and Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris and everybody else, the team doctors and everybody else that went out there, they're sitting on the plane. They're going, oh, my God, this guy is frigging great. He might be the number one pick of the draft. He might be better than Caleb Williams. He's great. What are we going to do here if he's sitting there at 8? We got to take him. I mean, we're talking about a 10-year run here. This is what great teams do. You got Brett Favre. You draft Aaron Rodgers. He's sitting there. You got to take him. You know, when Aaron Rodgers was taken by the Packers fans are screaming, what are you doing taking a quarterback? They're like, well, the guy's great, but he's going to sit on the bench for 3 years. How did that work out for him, Angelo? Pretty good, right? Did I lose Angelo?
No, you didn't lose me. I'm here. I'm just enjoying.
Oh, okay. So my question is, no. My question is, how did it work out? I think what they're trying to do here is two things, twofold here. Number one, what they saw was a quarterback who is a star player in the making, and another quarterback who's coming off an Achilles injury. So there was some protection in that. Okay, because they don't want to. The best thing in the world is for Michael Penix not to play down this year, right? But I think what they saw was the ability to do what those great franchises do if you want Raheem Morris to be the head coach for 15 years, and that is to have a star quarterback and draft his heir apparent.
Right. No, I agree. And you know, that was my thought all along, and I agree with you that, you know, everybody's getting upset. You're paying $100 million, but you're also paying Michael just a rookie salary, right, for 5 years?
Well, yeah, it's not so much about the money as it is about, I think, again, they're not just drafting him because they say, okay, it's time for us to draft a quarterback. We may not get a chance to draft a quarterback, you know, coming up very high because we might be too good and we'll be way down the draft. Let's hope that's the case. But again, I think it was they were on the plane and they said, oh, my God, this guy's going to be a – if he hadn't been a star player, if he had been just like – and I don't mean to throw shade here, if he had just been a good player like a J.J. McCarthy, you know, he's a good player, I think they would have gone way off him, and they would have said, okay, look, we got $100 million. We'll live with Taylor Heinicke. We'll draft a backup next year, and we'll take the bet, you know. But that's not what they said. They went, oh, Lord, this guy's going to be great. That's what happened.
Yeah, and so in closing, I really hope that the quarterback situation works out, that we don't all of a sudden have controversy, that Kirk Cousins, for whatever reason, maybe have a bad game and everybody's calling for the rookie. I just hope it goes the way we all want it to go, where Kirk Cousins utilizes all that offensive talent that we've been talking about, and we win some games, and everybody's happy.
Me too, Angelo. That's what I hope, but I can guarantee you, and I appreciate the call, the first time that Kirk Cousins has a bad game, because what's going to happen in preseason? What's going to happen? Eric, what is going to happen in preseason for the Atlanta Falcons with the Falcons fans and Michael Penix? What's going to happen?
The love fest is going to begin.
Oh, the love fest will be underway. You betcha. They about to fall in love with Michael Penix. Okay, they're about to go, oh, he's got to start. You know that before we play Pittsburgh, all the fans are going to be screaming, you got to start Penix. Oh, how can you not? He's the future. He's going to be the greatest thing in the world. Oh, don't put that, you know, Achilles, you know, dude in there. You know, I mean, that's going to happen. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen. And it's okay. It's what fans do. Tomahawk and everybody, hang on. Quick break. Breaks are short on this show. Braves, best and worst in the first half. And what area the Falcons, Angelo, wanted to talk about the quarterbacks. How about new coaches and new schemes? What are the number one topics here for you to watch in camp preseason? Is it the impact of all the new players, the draft picks, and the guys they picked up? Or is it to patch up the holes that they have, that we think they have, we think they do, on the defensive side of the ball? All ahead with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on the game.